This is an ABC podcast.
Music is embedded in every aspect of our lives, so it's no surprise to consider the amount of musical talent throughout the Pacific. And thanks to technology, you don't have to wait for a record contract to get your music out to the masses. Musicians all over the Pacific can post their music on social media. And while there are barriers for many Pacific artists to take it to the next level, it is even harder for women. If you listen or even search for music, it is dominated by men. Why is this? I'm Natasha Madden. Sisters, let's talk about women breaking the barriers in the music industry. If I asked you to name three of the most famous female musicians from the Pacific, who would you name? Some of the big names I think of are Vanessa Kwai, Ovika, and Linda Bull. But to be honest, a lot more men come to mind because the music industry is just so heavily dominated by men. A 2022 study in the US looked at gender and race ethnicity of artists, songwriters, and producers across 1,000 popular songs from 2012 to 2021, and found even now more than 95% of music producers are men. So how does that imbalance affect women in the Pacific region? And what does it take to break through and gain recognition, not to mention earn a living as a woman in the music industry? For the Bold sisters, it was obviously their enormous talent, their charisma, and their hard work, but it was also their tenacity. Vika and Linda spoke to Hilda Wayne about this for Sisters Let's Talk back in 2022.
As women, how difficult was it for you to break into this industry, the music industry in Australia?
Ooh.
And more to that, Islander Girls.
We didn't really think about
it.
We just did it. But the strength in the end was the fact that we were together. You know, when there's two, because we worked as a team and because we always stuck together, that was a really huge advantage. And we were generally treated very, very well.
When we started though singing, you know, it was like everything. We didn't think about being Tongan, you know, the first couple of Tongan girls that broke into the Australian music scene. We didn't kind of think about that. It was just, we just want to sing. We just want to sing for a living. Singing is our passion, you know. The aim was to go into this and give it 100%. We didn't worry about being the first Islanders to be in a band that won Best Band or get an award for this or get an award for that or being the first in anything. It was just, we just wanted to sing. We didn't think about anything. That was the only thing on our mind, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's years later that we realised the impact that we had because we're on TV a lot.
Yeah.
And so
we
had, you know, young girls or young people come up to us and say, you know, that was really important for me because at that point I couldn't see anyone that looked like me on TV. That never occurred to us. But it was lovely.
That's true. Because, you know, we used to watch MTV and there was really no
apart from Bob Marley.
Well, even before Bob Marley, there were no black acts when we started watching MTV, you know. It was like, well, where are all our people, you know? Why aren't they on MTV too, you know?
So what about the other name I mentioned, Vanessa Kwai? She has been performing since she was just 8 years old. How did she get her big break and become such a household name throughout the Pacific?
I used to participate a lot in these music talent shows when I was 7, 8 years old. So that's when I started to get known. And then I started to do recording. I started my first album when I was 9 years old.
Can you describe how it felt to perform in front of a crowd at that young age?
Yeah, I was very young and at that time I felt nervous. Well, of course, it's normal to feel nervous when you're standing in, you know, standing in front of people. But when I began to sing, it just flowed like my confidence was okay, you know, and then I finished the song all the way at the end.
You.
So,
yeah. When did you know that you could captivate an audience? Was it when you were 8 years old on the stage or was it years later?
I think much later, when I was 10, 11 years old, I started my first concert. So my dad was a huge mentor for me, someone who is really behind my musical journey. When I started, my father, he was the one who really pushed me and coached me and, you know, built that confidence in me. He trained me in stage performance and stuff like that, stage appearance. Yeah, so my first concert was when I was 11 years old, back here in Vanuatu. And yeah, just the turnout for the people in that first concert, I knew that, you know, like I had something special. I mean, yeah, the gift that I believe that God gave me the gift. So,
Vanessa, working in the music industry for so long, what have you noticed about the opportunities for women to break through?
I think it's social media can really get you out there. You know, people get to know you. Very fast. And I think that's what I've been observing these days, that social media is a very powerful tool, or a very powerful platform to, or an opportunity for female musicians to get out there and be exposed.
What do you think are some of the barriers that they may come across?
I think one of the barriers that we faced as female musicians is maybe it's financial hurdles, like just to help us continue to make an income. Like if we want to become a full-time musician or live on music alone. Most of the females here, they have to have like a side job just to have a stable income and do music as another job.
Yeah. And apart from financial hurdles, are there any other barriers that you think that affect women in the music industry as well?
Yeah, understanding that music industry is mainly dominated by men. So that's a challenge for us as female musicians as well, like just to get our art, our creativity out there. And yeah, and especially composing and is a challenge or it's a barrier for us. It's just finding, you know, the right people to work with and who believes in us. And yeah.
As a woman in the music industry, have you faced those barriers yourself?
Definitely, yes. When I started off, there were already male groups and male musicians already existed. But one thing that I had to build for myself is confidence. Like something that I had to overcome is fear. Just to, as an individual person, to come out with my craft or my creativity, my voice. So I think that's one thing that I had to overcome is fear. And knowing that a female can be someone out there as well in the society.
When you think about those barriers and challenges that you have overcome, and when you look at how far you've come as a Pacific woman in music, how does that make you feel?
I feel proud of myself. I feel proud that I've come a very long journey to be who I am as an artist today. And also I'm proud of what I've created for myself as, you know, my craft in my music and my voice and what I've got to say through my songs. I'm very proud of what I've achieved. And I'm thankful for the people who behind me, especially my family, who has always so supported me. I think that's one thing that musicians, as female musicians or any musicians, they need is a very good support, you know, supportive team or supportive system behind them that can progress someone.
Yeah. What is it like to have young girls look up to you?
I feel honored, and I feel like I'm just amazed by how other females in the Pacific, especially in Vanuatu, who look up to us. Seeing someone who is in their faces, you know, very inspired and happy. I just feel happy as well. You know, I feel good that, you know, I'm doing something, not just for myself, but I'm inspiring someone out there, inspiring the young girls that they can be somebody, whoever they want to be, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have any advice to women out there in the Pacific, especially for women in the Pacific who are trying to follow in your footsteps or who look up to you as a role model?
My advice would be believe in yourself and, you know, overcome fear and have, you know, supportive people behind you, whoever it is. Embrace people who believe in you and always put God first. You know, like there's something personally for me is, you know, to put God first in my life.
So what are you up to now? What do you do these days?
I do recordings a lot, and I'm working on new songs for this year, and been back in the studio and just working on some new craft and new music, new lyrics, and I'm going to collaborate with some very potential artists that are very popular, but it's going to be a surprise, so... that's what I've been working on for this year. Yeah, I'm a mother of a 2-year-old daughter, and I've just been full-time with, you know, being in motherhood. It's a new adventure for me, and it's exciting as well for me.
Is your daughter singing yet?
Yes, she's just like inspired, like, you know, just seeing in her face, like every time I sing, she just sits there and just watch me, like see in her face that she's really inspired by how I sing. And so I believe that she's going to pick that up, eventually when she grows up. But yeah, she's started to sing a few songs. So every time she hears my song, she recognizes my voice. She knows that that's mommy. So she will sing along with some of the songs that she will pick up. Yes.
That's Ni Vanuatu singer Vanessa Kwai. And as well as being a recording artist, Vanessa is also a vocal coach. One of her students was Fiji's Vika Melody Tuwisa Wau. Vika was the Pacific Break Competition's youngest ever entrant back in 2019, when she sang Giver of Joy under the name Vika and Friends. She also spoke to Hilda Wayne back in 2022.
I was a huge Vanessa Kwai fan ever since I could remember. And so alongside the DVDs I would watch at home, like Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey, I'd watch Vanessa Kwai as well. She did a tour, I believe, in Europe, like a competition. And I watched that religiously and would like go through all the runs and the notes she'd do. So I loved Vanessa Kwai, I still do. And she somehow, my dad knew her dad, and then things happened. I was in her music video called Yandra Mai, and I danced in that one. So yeah, gradually we just got to know each other. And then I eventually attended her vocal classes. I'm so grateful. She was like the best vocal teacher. She helped me find my voice and how to use it.
Singing competitions like the Pacific Break and the competitions that Vanessa entered can provide singers with a platform and an audience when they're vying for the big break. Aberdeen Heather, or Abby, got a lot of exposure when she was the first runner-up in Samoa Star Search in 2019. She spoke to Sisters Let's Talk as well in 2022.
Samoa Star Search had opened new doors for me to finally write music and produce them as well. To sing publicly on television, that was something else, something different.
Good on you.
And and Star Search had really helped me to have some confidence in me and to be comfortable with any kind of song that I can sing. The competition is very useful for people who think that they don't have confidence in them, people who think that they can't sing enough. Samoa Star Search has really helped the young people here in Samoa to know their talents and to really go out there and do it.
That's Samoan singer-songwriter Abby speaking to Hilda Wayne.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
You've heard from singers who found their audience, but remember I said that more than 95% of music producers are men. Not only that, the people deciding who to record, who to market, and who to book are predominantly men. That's why Radio Australia has launched a new music show, Sister Sounds, which is all about platforming female artists. I caught up with the host of Sister Sounds, Sosefina Fuamole.
The goalposts for success have changed. I think that's always something that's really important to remember. When we look at the music industry historically, a lot of the positions of power have always been held by men. The trends and the levels of success have been dictated by men for a very, very long time. So the quota of female artists who we have been seeing breakthrough have almost been breaking through in a specific mold of success, which is why the percentages have always been more minimal, but also the diversity in sound and the diversity in output has also been lacking, and where for their male counterparts, they may have had more freedom to be producing art that pushes the boundaries or would have been more readily accepted. So I feel like to look at how female musicians, female artists have been treated in decades gone by, it's easy just to see why by looking at the upper structures and the framework of the industry that they have been, you know, they've had to work within. But I do think that in the last 10 to 20 years especially, we've seen those structures being dismantled. We've seen, you know, more artists kind of look at them and say, you know, we don't need them because we know that we're dedicated to our craft, so we're just going to go our own way, and that has been working for them. So that's what's been exciting for me to see.
What do you say to the idea that men are just more popular with the with audiences?
Well, I laugh at it for one, but you know, it's not like I'm going to sit up here and say that there are no entertaining or talented male performers or artists, because that's just not true. I feel like to say that they're naturally more popular is a bit of a generalization, but again, it's one that people have thought for quite some time because that's what they've been used to seeing, right? But in saying that, like behind a lot of those successful male artists, you've got female songwriters who've been writing for them. You've got female, you know, probably less prominent, but female producers, like, you know, females in the team who work behind the scenes who probably don't get the shine that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the structures that have been dismantled in the last decade. Can you talk a bit more about what do you think that has helped for that shift to happen?
Well, mainly I feel like the positions of power, whether they be, you know, different board positions, whether they be the chairs, whether they be the CEOs, you know, these positions that have been traditionally held by men are now starting to see women take up those roles, or at the very least, they're starting to be more open-minded in who they have in those rooms. So we're seeing more women taking on senior positions at record labels, distribution companies, writing agencies. So from like the top down, we're seeing women being elevated and those voices being amplified. And I feel like that's helping because it's starting to change the perceptions of what females can do and how much success can be obtained autonomously as well. Like, they work amazingly in teams, but, you know, you can have females who can run some of the biggest music companies in the world and, you know, the whole industry doesn't combust. Like, this is proof that that's happening. So I feel like just having women in those rooms, having people from marginalized communities in those rooms at senior levels as well, is giving artists confidence. And it's also giving the rest of us who work in the industry a little bit of a sign that things are changing on a permanent scale as well. It's less tokenistic than it used to be before because people are starting to put their money where their mouth is now.
What was the motivation behind starting the new program you host, Sister Sounds?
Well, I think it's a really exciting time at Radio Australia because there's so many awesome new shows that are being launched. There's so many amazing voices on the station now who are really into promoting unique content. And I think when it comes to Sister Sounds, the idea just simply came from, you know, listening to what is being programmed at the moment and sort of identifying that there was, like, we know that there's an amazing amount of female artists right throughout the region, but they're just, we're not seeing that, or we weren't seeing that in the playlisting or in the programming. And we needed to figure out why that was. And, you know, when we think about the Pacific, we're thinking about the issues that I've already been talking about in terms of avenues for success for women. If you narrow, take that down another level into these island regions where the actual infrastructure for music industry isn't there like it is in a lot of the bigger markets. So, like, female artists in the Pacific are sort of, they've got double the obstacles against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because those places might be limited, even more limited, but also there might not be the studio environments available for them to record professionally. They might not have the mentorship, the guidance, the access to producers like a lot of their counterparts in Australia or in New Zealand. So we decided to take a really grassroots look at things and be like, okay, well, what are the platforms we have that we can be curating a space where those artists are, again, promoted and they're elevated, but they're also, it's done in a way where the audience can really tell that we're into the music as well. You know, it's not just like we're going on YouTube and typing in like female artists from the islands and then putting in the first 10 things that come up. Like we're really trying to keep our ear to the ground and discover what new music is out there. Rick Howell, who's the host of Island Music, is my producer for this show, and he's such a font of knowledge, but also understands how important it is for women's voices to be heard, specifically coming out of the islands where, you know, in a lot of respects, it still is a very patriarchal and male-dominated society and environment. So having his ear, having his sort of knowledge of music out of the region, and then having my musical knowledge as well, we've really been able to create a space that is nurturing but is also really exciting when it comes to discovering new artists we can champion too.
Yeah. How hard is it for you to find so many women artists each week for the show?
Yeah, it's challenging, mainly because trying to find the current stuff is hard, again, because it's not like a lot of these artists have massive publicity machines behind them. If they have publicity machines at all, you know, we're dealing with a lot of independent artists who don't have management, who don't, you know, they might not have the strategies behind them in terms of making sure that their music is getting out there. So it really is just down to us using our social media networks, using our online channels to find these artists. But it's becoming easier now. Like in connecting with some of the artists that we've had, we've been able to get avenues to their recommendations. So we've been put on by different artists as well. So it's kind of developing a little bit more of an organic community in that sense.
All right. You've mentioned your producer, Rick, and you also mentioned that the industry is still male-dominated. How important is it for men to step up to consciously address the gender imbalance?
It's very important, but I think it's also good to remember that it doesn't mean you're trying to sweep us off your feet with all of your chivalry. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's literally the bare minimum. Like, if you think that your position in a room is maybe, you know, not unnecessary, but if you feel like you could be doing more, whether it's giving an opportunity to a female colleague or, if you know, a female counterpart, even if it's just to have them in a room to learn, to get their faces in front of these people who they may not be able to get their faces in front of on their own, that's a step forward.
If it means, you know, you see behavior that you know would not be leveled at you as a male and is unfair, inappropriate, whatever, speaking up is a really good way to start. Like when we say we need the support of men, we're not saying we need you to come rescue us. We're saying we need you to work with us to actually build a platform and environment that is A, sustainable, but B, actually nurturing of the fair treatment of women. And this comes from the back all the way to the front. Like I'm talking about women who work in roles that are never acknowledged widespread by the industry, right through to the artists who are creating the work. We can all work together and coexist. And like I said before, like there are plenty of wonderful men who I can have worked with, continue to work with, who do an amazing job in championing women, in championing new and diverse voices, but more needs to be done. We need to be hearing, you know, responses from those men in senior positions, from those who have been silent for so long because they have the luxury of being silent. Those are the people we need to be hearing from. It's getting to that point where, like, we can be doing the work on the ground, but the ceiling for our success is only so high or low.
What do you hope this new program will achieve?
I hope it gets more female voices on the radio each week.
Yeah.
That's kind of the core value of it. But also I hope that it, you know, showcases that there's such a beautiful range of voices in the region who are interested in different sorts of music as well, like everything from dancehall to R&B to rock music to folk music to Christian music. Like there's such an array of influences that are happening, not just in the islands, but beyond as well. And I feel like that's really important to showcase, because in doing that, it deconstructs preconceptions of what island music sounds like, or indeed what music coming from a female artist would sound like as well. Like it just, I really hope with this show we get to showcase a great range of different sounds and voices, of course, but also start to break down those stereotypes of what artists from our region are supposed to look like and supposed to sound like. I mean, if there's, I've been saying this at any opportunity I can, but if there are any aspiring artists or just artists who are out in the region who want to get in touch with us, send us their music. We want to hear from you. Simply email us at sistersounds, that's sistasbounds, at abc.net.au. So you can get in contact with both Rick and myself there, and hopefully you can get your music on the radio.
That's my colleague and sister here at Radio Australia, Sosefina Fuamoli. And you can hear Sister Sounds on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. PNG time, or find it online by searching for Sister Sounds ABC Pacific. Thank you so much to our two fabulous guests today, Sosefina and Vanessa. And thank you again to the beautiful women who spoke to Hilda back in 2022. We've included a link to that episode in our show notes, so you can find it by searching Sisters Let's Talk ABC Pacific. And while you're on the ABC Pacific website, make sure you subscribe to our weekly newsletter. It's the best way to get regular updates from ABC Pacific and catch up on the shows that we make. Once again, just head to ABC Pacific and scroll down to subscribe to the newsletter. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our producer is Kim Lester, and Fale Angafulu Inga Stunzna is our executive producer. Sisters Let's Talk is produced on Darumbal, Yagara and Turrbal land, and we pay respects to elders past and present.